privacy policy and the disclosure of NRIC numbers on ACRA's BizFile portal. Second Minister for Finance, Ms. Indrani Raja, and I will be making ministerial statements to address the issues raised. Our statements will address questions 1 to 37 for oral answer in yesterday's order paper, questions 3 to 8 and 39 to 44 for written answer in yesterday's order paper, question 52 for oral answer in today's order paper, and related questions that have been filed for subsequent sittings.
Please go ahead.
Sir, let me start by acknowledging the concerns raised by the public over NRIC policy. The BizFile incident is unfortunate. Without intending to, it may have led the public to believe that the government is changing its policy to allow full NRIC numbers to be exposed on a wide scale. This is not the case. We take the public's concerns very seriously and are very sorry that the mistake has caused them much anxiety. I want to reassure the public that NRIC numbers remain personal data. NRIC numbers can only be collected when there is a need to do so. Organizations that collect NRIC numbers also have a duty of care. Subject to applicable law, they must notify and seek consent on use and ensure protection of the data. These are existing guidelines that will not change. However, there are also some incorrect users of the NRIC number today. Our plan was to stop these incorrect users while the problem is relatively contained. Doing so will better protect everyone and allow us to use NRIC numbers with confidence. In this regard, my statement today will address two issues: the current incorrect users of NRIC numbers and why we need to change, and what our next steps will be. So, when we interact with others daily, we are identified by our names. However, our names may not be unique. For organizations that deal with many people, say a hospital with several patients named John Tan, they need a better way to uniquely identify them. Their NRIC number is a useful, unique identifier in such situations. When the hospital needs to perform an operation or dispense medication, the doctor or nurse must make absolutely sure that it is the right John Tan they are dealing with, and they should ask you, what is your NRIC number? Since the NRIC number's purpose is to be a unique identifier, it cannot be a secret, just as our names are not secret. I should emphasize, however, that while your NRIC number is not a secret, it is not meant to be widely disclosed. This is a concern echoed in Mr. Lim Biao Chuan's question. We would only disclose our NRIC number under certain circumstances, for example, when required by law. Some examples include disclosing our NRIC number to our employers, at the clinic, or when we subscribe to a mobile telephone line. Because we do have to disclose our NRIC number to others for such purposes, we must assume that at least some people know our NRIC number. Over time, however, NRIC numbers have become increasingly used as more than an identifier. Previously, organizations would require seeing my physical NRIC card to confirm that I am who I claim to be. However, some organizations assume that if someone can cite my NRIC number, that person must be me. This is clearly wrong. On the assumption that this person is indeed me, some organizations may go further to give the person access to privileged information or services. When used this way, my NRIC number is no longer just an but a key to unlock more information or services. In such situations, the NRIC number is being accepted as an authenticator or proof of who a person claims to be. This is clearly inappropriate. Instead of the full NRIC number, some organizations collect and use a partial NRIC number, usually the last four characters of the NRIC number. They think this is safe, and that revealing only the last four characters still keeps the full NRIC number secret. Among public agencies, even when the agencies had the full NRIC numbers, the use of masked NRIC numbers became more common. Besides organizations, some individuals also started to use their NRIC numbers as their passwords. They did so under the impression that the full NRIC number is secret. However, as shown by Dr. Tan Wu Ming in his question, there are now algorithms that can be found online that have made it easier to work out the full NRIC number from the partial or masked NRIC number. The easy availability of such algorithms means that the continued use of partial or masked NRIC numbers gives both organizations and individuals a false sense of security. This does not really keep the full NRIC number secret. This also makes the practice of using NRIC numbers as passwords even more inappropriate. To the questions by Dr. Tan, Mr. Liang Enghua, and Ms. Sylvia Lim, these developments led the government to take steps to stop the incorrect users of the NRIC number. This meant two things. One, not using the NRIC number as an authenticator, and two, moving away from the use of masked NRIC numbers because it creates a false sense of security. We knew this transition would take time, but it was better to start while the problem is relatively contained and for the government to take the lead. To the question by Ms. Joan Pereira, we proceeded to ask agencies to stop using the NRIC number as an authenticator or as a password. We also asked agencies not to plan new users with a view to discontinuing existing users of masked NRIC numbers eventually. The lapse in coordination between agencies led to ACRA's misunderstanding and the disclosure of full NRIC numbers in the People Search function of its new BizFile portal. In hindsight, what we should have made clear was that moving away from the use of masked NRIC numbers did not mean automatically using the full NRIC number instead in every case. At no point was our intention to disclose full NRIC numbers on a wide scale. In place of masked NRIC numbers, in some instances, there would be no need for the NRIC number at all. In other instances, names alone or some other identifier would be sufficient. But there could also be instances where full NRIC numbers should be used instead of masked NRIC numbers. Each case would have to be assessed and decided individually. Members including Mr. Leong Man Wai, Mr. Liang, Mr. Xie Yao Quan, Ms. Jessica Tan, Mr. Dennis Tan, and Mr. Pritam Singh have asked about the internal processes leading to ACRA's actions. Minister Indrani will say more about it in her statement later and address members' questions related to ACRA. Ms. Cheryl Chan asked why the efforts to change did not include the private sector. The government takes time for public sector agencies to make the change. We expected that it would take even longer for the private sector because of long-standing practices and habits. The plan was therefore to change the internal practices of government before moving to change practices in the private sector and non-profit organizations, which Ms. Usha Chandradas asked about. We believed that doing so would allow us to better understand the implementation challenges and, as a result, facilitate a smoother transition in the private sector. We had also planned to mount a major effort to help Singaporeans be aware of the risks and to support efforts to stop incorrect practices. The BizFile incident was an unfortunate misstep, which now means these plans need to be brought forward. While we had taken steps to stop the incorrect uses of NRIC numbers in the public sector, we had not started implementation for the private sector. Mr. Edward Chia, Mr. Liang, Ms. Hazel Pua, and Mr. Xie have asked specifically what should be done in the private sector. At this stage, we would advise private sector organizations to do two things. First, private sector organizations that are using NRIC numbers as a factor of authentication or as default passwords should stop this practice as soon as possible. Second, private sector organizations that presently collect partial NRIC numbers to identify people can continue to do so. The guidelines for the private sector have not yet changed, and we will only consider how they should be updated after consulting the public. Two questions by Mr. Xie, Mr. Melvin Yong, and Mr. Sharil Taha. We aim to start consultations soon and will provide details when ready. Our initial soundings with the private sector suggest there can be different approaches. Some organizations currently using partial NRIC numbers can stop the practice and replace them with alternative means of identification, such as mobile numbers or email addresses, or drop them entirely. But there are also organizations that need to accurately identify persons and can justify the collection of full NRIC numbers, even if they are not required by law. For example, preschool centres will prefer to collect the full NRIC numbers of visitors rather than just, say, mobile numbers. The parents will certainly feel more secure. In applications for and disbursements of substantial financial aid, persons would also need to be accurately identified. We will take these considerations on board when updating the guidelines. In any case, I would like to assure members like Ms. Jean C and Mr. Ong Hua Han that the PDPC will support businesses in changing their authentication methods. This will include raising their awareness on why the use of NRIC numbers as a factor of authentication is unsafe and working through IMDA and CSA's programs to help businesses review and adjust their practices. To questions by Ms. Tin Pei Ling, Mr. Zulkarnain, and Dr. James Lim, I should emphasize that NRIC numbers are personal data. This means that organizations collecting and using NRIC numbers must continue to exercise a duty of care. Subject to applicable law, they must notify and seek consent on use and also ensure that the data is sufficiently protected. Certainly, they should not disclose the NRIC numbers unless there is good reason to do so. Members may also ask, if the NRIC number is not suitable as an authenticator, what about the physical NRIC card, our pink identity card? If we look at our physical NRIC card, we will see that it contains other identifying information, such as our photo and fingerprint. It allows others to check that the information on the card matches me, the person holding the card. In addition, the physical NRIC card is not easily faked. The physical NRIC card is therefore suitable as an authenticator or proof of who I claim to be. But someone providing my NRIC number and claiming to be me does not have these additional factors of proof. Organizations must know that the physical NRIC card and the NRIC number are different. The physical NRIC card can be an authenticator, but the NRIC number should not be used as an authenticator. Organizations should therefore not accept my NRIC number alone as proof that the person citing it is indeed me. Besides organizations, individuals too have questions about what they should do. There are also two things. The first is to clarify their understanding of the NRIC number. Members like Ms. Sylvia Lim asked about this. We have said that our NRIC number is like our name. Even if it is not widely disclosed, it is not secret. In our daily lives, if someone we don't recognize calls out our names and starts to behave as though they know us well, we would be at least slightly suspicious. We might be polite, but not too friendly. Certainly, we should not fully trust this person just because they know our name. This should also be how we treat anyone who tells us our NRIC number. We should not automatically assume that they know us well, or are figures of authority, or can be trusted. We should be cautious about revealing more about ourselves or saying yes to their requests or following their instructions without checking further. The second thing we can do as individuals is to review our passwords. If we have used our NRIC number as a password to access any information or service, we have mistakenly used it as an authenticator and should change the password immediately. Doing so will give us better protection against people who use our NRIC number to get access to information or services. It will also complement efforts by organizations to stop using the NRIC number as a factor of authentication. To Ms. Hani So's question, NRIC-related scams are not new. Most NRIC-related scams involve victims who think they are speaking to figures of authority and end up taking actions that harmed themselves, such as transferring money without further checks. Very few cases have involved scammers directly using NRIC numbers to unlock access to valuables. Several members have also asked how to mitigate the risks when NRIC numbers are disclosed. They include Mr. Zukanayan, Mr. Edward Chia, Mr. Christopher D'Souza, Mr. Ong, Mr. Liang, Ms. Jessica Tan, Mr. Louis Chua, Ms. Cheryl Chan, Mr. Sharil Daha, and Mr. Yip Hong Wing. As I have explained, the risks arise from the incorrect use of the NRIC numbers. If individuals stop using NRIC numbers as passwords and organizations stop using NRIC numbers as authenticators, this will go a long way to preventing harms from scams. They will give us all better peace of mind to use the NRIC number whenever it is necessary, such as to get medical treatment or apply for jobs. So the government appreciates that the incorrect users of NRIC number may not be well understood. Our public education efforts will raise awareness amongst organizations and individuals and to guide them on what they should do. In doing so, we will focus on the points I highlighted above. Mr. Gerald Giam asked about alternatives to the current NRIC number system. In fact, the risks do not arise directly from the structure of the NRIC number. Rather, the risks arise when the NRIC number, which is meant to be a unique identifier, is incorrectly used as an authenticator or a password. Even if we were to create an alternative identifier, we would still have a problem if organizations used it as an authenticator and individuals use it as a password. So let me now turn to questions about ACRA's exemption from PDPA requirements and the government's data protection measures. These were raised by Ms. Tin Pei Ling, Ms. Sylvia Lim, Mr. Saktiandi Subat, and Mr. Patrick Tay. The government has always taken seriously its responsibility to protect the data entrusted to the public sector. The government's personal data protection standards are set collectively by the Public Sector Governance Act, or PSGA, and our own internal rules. So PSGA plus our own internal rules. The PSGA is aligned with the PDPA and adapted to the public service context. Our internal rules are comprehensive and take reference from international and industry standards. We also continually strengthen our data governance practices. ACRA is expected to comply with these rules and the PSGA, which are no less stringent than PDPA requirements. Regular mandatory audits are conducted to ensure that public agencies, including ACRA, comply with the standards for data protection and the security of ICT systems. The number of data incidents and their severity is published annually. In the most recent whole-of-government audit exercise on IT-related data security controls, there were very few significant findings, and all of them had been remediated by the agencies concerned. There has also been a reduction in data incidents of medium severity and above. Where necessary, we have also taken public servants to task, for example, in serious cases involving unauthorized disclosure or improper use of information. Members can be reassured that we take these rules and controls very seriously. We will continue to regularly review the safeguards to ensure that they remain relevant. So, let me conclude. We understand the public's concerns about NRIC numbers. It was not our intention to make the full NRIC number widely disclosed, and we are not heading in that direction. NRIC numbers are personal data and used only when there is a need to. Organizations that hold your NRIC number also have a duty of care. Subject to law, they must notify and seek consent on use and ensure protections. These are existing guidelines that will not change. What needs to change are the incorrect users of the NRIC number. These include using NRIC numbers for authentication or as passwords. It is better to make these changes while the problem is relatively contained. Organizations and individuals can both help by taking steps to stop using NRIC numbers as authenticators or passwords. By taking action as soon as possible, we can increase protection for all of us. This will allow us to more confidently use the full NRIC number as a unique identifier whenever we need to do so. Mr. Speaker, please allow me to summarize a few key points in Mandarin, please. 议长先生, 政府了解国人对于正确使用身份证号码的议题十分关注。 我想在这里重申, 政府并不打算让身份证号码成为广泛公开的信息。身份证号码是属于你我的个人资料，在有必要的时候才使用或透露给他人，除非法律规定。 任何机构想索取并保留我们的身份证号码，都得事先说明用途，并征求我们的同意，以及确保身份证号码受到妥善的保护。这些现有的指导原则没有改变，但我们必须改变的是一些 错误使用身份证号码的做法，例如，我们不应该使用身份证号码来验证一个人的身份，更不应该把身份证号码设置为密码。我们应该趁问题还不太严重之前，及时纠正。无论是机构 或个别人士都可以尽一份力，不再把身份证号码当成是身份的证据或是密码。只要我们尽早采取行动，就可以加强我们的保护网。这样一来，我们才能在有必要的时候更有信心地应用身份证号码 作为识别身份的工具。 Mr. Speaker, with your permission, I will respond to any clarifications which members may have after Minister Indrani Raja has also made her statement.
So the second Minister for Finance will indeed also be making a related ministerial statement. I will allow members to raise points of clarifications on both statements after Minister Indrani's statement. Second Minister for Finance.
Mr. Speaker, Minister Josephine Teo has spoken about the government's position on the use of NRIC numbers. In my statement, I will cover the events leading to the disclosure of full NRIC numbers on the Accra BizFile people search function and address related questions from members. I want to start by acknowledging the public anxiety and confusion caused by this incident, and once again extend our apologies for it. Regard NRIC numbers as sensitive information and are understandably concerned to learn that the NRIC numbers were available in full in the free people search function of Accra's new BizFile portal from 9 to 13th December 2024. We take these concerns very seriously. In the wake of the public concern about the disclosure, Accra suspended the service, and since the resumption of service on 28th December 2024, the search results under the revised people search function no longer show any NRIC numbers, masked or unmasked. We believe this approach addresses both the concerns that the public currently have and the needs of BizFile users. My statement will cover the following three areas. First, Accra's mandate to provide provide public access to basic information on businesses and their associated individuals. Second, the series of events that led to Accra changing the people search function to unmask NRIC numbers. Here, I will also address questions relating to the scale of disclosure. Incident will be conducted, and if any action will be taken against those involved. There have been questions on why Accra needs to provide public access to basic information on individuals associated with businesses and the types of information that are being made public. Some questions are based on an underlying assumption that NRIC numbers cannot be made public at all, which is not correct. It is therefore important to first have a clear understanding of Accra's mandate to collect and disclose information before we address the other issues. Accra is the national regulator of business regulation and financial reporting. Its mission is to foster a trusted business environment so that businesses and individuals within and outside of Singapore can transact with Singapore business entities with confidence and know who they are dealing with. In furtherance of that mission, one of Accra's roles is to maintain our national business register. To this end, Accra is empowered to collect and maintain information on business entities and their associated individuals. Associated individuals include individuals who are owners or directors of companies or shareholders of private companies. First, on information on business entities. The information on business entities that Accra collects and maintains includes the business's name, the unique entity number, or the UEN, incorporation date, status, for example, whether it's alive, dormant, or wound up, the registered address, business activity, paid up capital, and the list of shareholders. The information on associated individuals that Accra collects and maintains includes the individual's name, nationality, identification number, such as the NRIC number, and contact address. It also includes the past and present positions that they hold or have held in business entities that they are or have been associated with, as well as when they held these positions. To maintain corporate transparency, facilitate business transactions, and guard against illicit activities, Accra is allowed by law to give public access to such information, including NRIC numbers. This is provided for under the Accra Act and other Accra-administered legislation. Public access to such information is not unique to Singapore. Many business registries around the world similarly provide public access to such information. Let me provide some examples to illustrate why public access to such information is necessary. For example, when a bank onboards a new corporate client, it will need to conduct background checks on the company's directors. This allows the bank to ascertain if the directors have any history of financial misconduct or if they have been involved in companies with financial or regulatory issues before deciding whether to grant credit facilities such as loans. Information on the company's directors, such as their NRIC numbers, will be useful to the bank when confirming the directors' identities. When companies and investors do business with each other, or when they are considering mergers and acquisitions, they would normally need NRIC numbers to facilitate due diligence checks on the identities and shareholdings of their counterparts' company directors. NRIC numbers also help to deter illicit activities. When the identities of business owners, directors, and other key position holders of businesses are publicly known and are publicly linked to their businesses, it deters these individuals from engaging in illegal activities such as money laundering and fraud, because their clients, regulators, and stakeholders can easily trace them and hold them accountable for their actions. Public access to information on individuals associated with business entities thus maintains corporate transparency, deters illicit activities, and upholds trust in our business environment. In summary, therefore, it is important to understand that the public disclosure of NRIC numbers is not prohibited per se. The real issue is the degree and the ease of access to NRIC numbers. Let me just repeat that because it's important. I think that people understand this. The public disclosure of NRIC numbers is not prohibited per se. The real and the ease of access to NRIC numbers. To appreciate the distinction, it's necessary to understand how ACRA's BizFile portal works. BizFile is ACRA's one-stop e-services portal for users to register new businesses, file annual returns, update business and personal information, and access information on business entities and their associated individuals. There are two key steps to access information on business entities and their associated individuals on BizFile. First is the people search, or what I will for convenience call step one. And two, the people profile search, or what I will call step two. The people search function is the first step in a user's search for information on individuals associated with business entities. It allows users to specify and identify the individual on whom they wish to obtain information. This function is free, and I will explain how it works. On the old BizFile portal, which was in place before 9 December 2024, users could do a name search, which would return a list of individuals with the same searched name and their masked NRIC number. So, for example, if you did a name search for John Tan and there were four John Tans in the database, all four names would turn up in the people search results along with the masked NRIC numbers of those four individuals. If you had the NRIC number of the specific John Tan you were searching for, you would be able to identify the correct John Tan from among the people search results. If you wanted more information on the relevant John Tan, you would then have to purchase the people profile on that John Tan. This is step two, for which a fee is charged. The people profile contains additional information, such as the individual's full name, full NRIC number, contact address, associated businesses, and past and present positions that they held or hold. Therefore, even on the old BizFile portal, a member of the public could obtain the full NRIC number of an individual associated with a business entity by purchasing that individual's people profile at step two. There was no change to this step two in the new business profile, in the new BizFile portal. In other words, the full NRIC number has always been publicly accessible upon the purchase of a people profile, and this has not been an issue. The NRIC number, in the context of a BizFile search, has never been confidential or secret. The real issue is one of degree and ease of access and searchability. So, what changed? What changed between the old BizFile portal and the new one launched on 9 December 2024 was the people search function, or step one. As I explained earlier, if you keyed in a name or part of a name on the old BizFile portal, previously the search results would show the names and the masked NRIC numbers. The new BizFile portal, however, showed the names and the full NRIC numbers until the service was suspended. This change to the people search function on the new BizFile portal, namely to display full NRIC numbers at step one, meant that if a user typed in John Tan, all the four John Tans in the system and their full NRIC numbers would be displayed. However, this change also meant that the public had free access to the full NRIC numbers of any individual in Accra's database. This understandably caused public concern, since many Singaporeans view their NRIC numbers as sensitive and confidential information. Accra has since revised the people search function such that it only returns names and no longer displays any NRIC number, whether masked or unmasked. Mr. Ang Wei Neng, Ms. Joan Pereira, Mr. Liang Eng Hua asked about the events that led to Accra unmasking NRIC numbers in the people search function. As mentioned at the press conference on 19 December 2024, we are thoroughly reviewing the incident to ascertain what exactly happened. The review is underway, and I do not want to prejudge the outcome, but I will share the key facts that have been pieced together so far. MDDI had concerns about how NRIC numbers were being used, as Minister Josephine Teo has explained in her ministerial statement. Consequently, in July 2024, MDDI issued a circular minute directing all government agencies to 1. Stop using NRIC numbers as authenticators or passwords, and 2. Cease any planned use of masked NRIC numbers in, for example, new business processes and digital services. Accra understood the directive to mean that it had to unmask and display in full the NRIC numbers in the people search function on the BizFile portal. Accra had internal deliberations about the risks of unmasking NRIC numbers in its people search function, including the possible impact on personal data protection. Accra then sought MDDI's clarification on whether it was required to unmask NRIC numbers in the people search function on the new BizFile portal. However, due to a lapse in coordination between MDDI and Accra, Accra continued to understand, mistakenly, that the directive to cease the use of masked NRIC numbers in new digital services required Accra to unmask and disclose in full the NRIC numbers. Hence, Accra disclosed full NRIC numbers in the people search function when the new BizFile portal was launched on 9 December 2024, as they thought MDDI required them to. Let me stress this. It was not the government's intent for agencies to make data sets of NRIC numbers in their possession widely and easily accessible. Minister Josephine Teo has since explained, both at the press conference on 19 December 2024 and her ministerial statement earlier, that when MDDI told agencies to cease the use of mass NRIC numbers, that did not automatically mean using full NRIC numbers in every case. Instead, MDDI's policy intent was for agencies to, one, not use NRIC numbers at all unless necessary, two, use other identifiers in lieu of NRIC numbers where this was adequate, and three, in certain cases, such as in medical settings, where the use of NRIC numbers is required by law or necessary for accurate identification, use full NRIC numbers. MDDI has acknowledged that they should have made this clear. With the benefit of hindsight, it's clear that there were gaps in the communication and understanding of MDDI's policy intent. The government is reviewing this lapse in coordination and communication between MDDI and ACRA, and I will elaborate on the scope of the review later. Mr. Se Yao Chuan asked about the length of time taken by ACRA to decide to disable the people search function. When public concerns first surfaced on 12 December 2024, MDDI and ACRA needed time to assess whether the disclosure of full NRIC numbers in the people search function was consistent with MDDI's policy intent, as well as the feasibility and lead time needed to effect alternatives. Disabling the search function was a last resort, given the impact on businesses and individuals who might need to use the people search function to conduct their due diligence checks. It was eventually agreed, out of the possible options, temporarily disabling the people search function would best address public concerns while ACRA reviewed the people search function. The function was disabled on the night of 13th December 2024. Therefore, the agencies could have been more prompt in their response. Therefore, while the agencies could have been more prompt in their response, one must also have regard to the various considerations they were balancing at the time. As part of the review, we will study how the government could have responded more quickly. Associate Professor James Lim asked if ACRA intends to extend its fee-based tiered access policy to more personal data. ACRA has no plans to do so. The issue here, as I have explained, is not about collecting or disclosing more personal data, but the ease of access to and the searchability of existing personal data that is currently publicly accessible. Let me now move on to the queries about the scale of the disclosure. First, I should emphasize that ACRA's database does not contain information on all Singapore citizens. It contains information only on individuals who are reflected in filings or lodgements made with ACRA. These are individuals who are or have been involved in ACRA-registered entities, such as companies, partnerships, as well as non-profit organizations that are companies limited by guarantee. If you or your authorized representative have not made any filing with ACRA before, your NRIC number would not have been collected or shared by ACRA. However, if you have incorporated a business or assumed a board directorship, your information would have been collected and made publicly available through the people profile or step two. The fee imposed at step two acts as a filter and makes it more likely that those accessing the people profile information would have a good reason for doing so. In respect of the period from 9th to 13 December 2024, when full NRIC numbers were disclosed on the people search function, Mr. Dennis Tan, Ms. Herting Ru, Mr. Louis Chua, and Dr. Tan Wu Ming have asked about the number of people searches conducted, the number of distinct users who conducted searches, the number of NRIC numbers that were disclosed before the people search function on the new BizFile portal was disabled, and the risk that NRIC numbers were accessed by malicious actors. Based on the investigations so far, more than 500,000 queries were made on people search during that 5-day period from 9 to 13 December 2024. This was much higher than the usual daily traffic of 2,000 to 3,000 queries. The bulk of these queries were made on 13th December 2024, the day after news of the NRIC numbers on the new BizFile portal broke. These searches came from an estimated 28,000 IP addresses, most of which were from Singapore. We are unable to identify the exact number of NRIC numbers that were disclosed through these queries, as the BizFile portal is not configured to track individual queries for the people search function. Accra and GovTech have since conducted a security review and identified that the security feature in the people search function, designed to distinguish between human users and computer bots, was not working as intended. This has since been fixed. Thus far, we have not uncovered any known threat actors based on the IP addresses that were used to make the people search queries between 9 and 13 December 2024. That said, those who are concerned that their NRIC numbers may have been accessed can still take steps to protect themselves. First, ensure that your NRIC number is not used as a password for any of your digital accounts. If you are using your NRIC number as a password, you should change your password as soon as possible. Second, do not use your NRIC number for authentication. If you're currently using your NRIC number for that purpose, change your authenticator as soon as possible. Third, do not assume someone to be a legitimate authority even if they know your NRIC number. Even if someone can recite your full NRIC number, it would be prudent to ascertain their identity and intent before conducting other checks. Following this incident, Accra is reviewing how the people search function can be improved. For example, Accra is considering the rollout of additional search parameters, such as the UEN of the entity with which the individual is associated. I now come to the last part of my statement, which is on the review of the incident and whether action will be taken against those involved. As mentioned earlier, a review panel has been set up to study the root cause of the incident, and work is already underway. The panel is led by Head of Civil Service, Mr. Leo Yip, and it includes permanent secretaries whose ministries are not involved in the NRIC policy or this incident. It also includes the permanent secretaries of MOF, which oversees Accra, and MDDI. The panel will report to Senior Minister Teo. The panel will review two matters. First, the government policy on the responsible use of NRIC numbers. Second, the disclosure in full of the disclosure of full NRIC numbers on the people search function of Accra's new BizFile portal. For both matters, the panel will study what happened, how the decisions were made, the implementation and communication processes, the coordination across public sector agencies, and where the government should have done and can do better. It will also recommend areas for improvement. Specific to the people search function on BizFile, the panel will look into the design and implementation of the search function. The panel expects to complete its review in February. We will share the review findings thereafter. Mr. Don Wee asked how disclosure of full NRIC numbers on the new BizFile portal aligns with data protection policies under the Personal Data Protection Act, or the PDPA. First, in the interest of corporate transparency, ACRA is legally allowed to disclose certain information, as I explained earlier. Second, beyond such permitted disclosures, ACRA, as a public agency, is required to meet personal data protection standards set out in the Public Sector Governance Act, the PSGA, and Government Instruction Manuals, or IMs, which are standards similar to those under the PDPA. The PDPA applies to the private sector, whereas public agencies like ACRA are governed by the PSGA and the government IMs. As the panel is still ascertaining the full facts of this incident, it would be premature to conclude definitively whether there has been a breach of the PSGA or the government IMs. As for whether action will be taken against those involved, that depends on the outcome of the review. Based on the panel's preliminary findings, the incident seems to be a genuine case of miscommunication born out of insufficient understanding of the policy intent and each party's needs and requirements. Nevertheless, if the panel uncovers facts that suggest actionable wrongdoing or serious lapses, it will refer the matter to the relevant bodies or authorities for further disciplinary or legal action. Mr. Speaker, in conclusion, there are three key points I wish to reiterate. First, providing public access to information on business entities and their associated individuals, including NRIC numbers, is part of how ACRA upholds corporate transparency and deters wrongdoing. But this information only pertains to ACRA-registered entities and individuals who are reflected in filings or lodgements made with ACRA. ACRA does not have the NRIC numbers of all Singapore citizens. Second, while MDDI intended for government agencies to cease using masked NRIC numbers, it did not intend for government agencies to unmask all the NRIC numbers that they were masking. The unmasking of NRIC numbers in the People Search function arose from ACRA's misunderstanding of MDDI's policy intent and gaps in communication and coordination between agencies. That said, even if ACRA had been laboring under the wrong impression, it should have been more mindful of the need to balance corporate transparency and the likely public concerns over the ease of access to and searchability of personal information in the People Search function on the new BizFile portal. Third, the government will learn from this episode and do better in the future. We are reviewing this incident thoroughly and will in due course share with the public the lessons learned. Let me conclude by saying something on behalf of ACRA. ACRA has acknowledged its mistake and is very sorry that this has happened. Since then, it has been doing its utmost to put things right and do better. They worked throughout the festive period to get the revised People Search function in place and to test and check the system. At the same time, they have been assisting BizFile users in navigating the revised search function. ACRA will work on improving its services and step up its data management measures. It will also support the review panel in identifying what went wrong and what could and should have been done better. This brings me to the end of my statement, Mr. Speaker. May I suggest that members seek clarifications in three segments. First, on the government's position on the use of NRIC numbers. Second, on the events that led to the unmasking of NRIC numbers. And third, any other clarifications.
Before I call on honourable members for your clarifications, I just wish to point out Standing Order 20, 23. Members may seek clarifications on the debate shall be allowed thereon. As you heard earlier, there are 32 members who have filed 51 questions on this issue. I will be giving priority to these members to seek their clarifications. And in view of the number of members who have filed questions on this matter, I seek all members' understanding to, first, keep your clarification short, clear, concise, and at a quick pace. Second, avoid preambles where possible. If a preamble is necessary, keep it brief. And third, state all your clarifications up front. Don't break them up. And likewise, I ask ministers, the two ministers, to also keep your answers clear and concise. By adopting this approach, I want to allow everyone to address as many clarifications as possible. First SQ, Ms. Tim Peeling.
Thank you. I have a few clarifications. First of all, I think one of the key issues that we have seen here is the question of has the policy stance changed? Because prior to the introduction of PDPA, Singaporeans were actually quite comfortable with sharing their NRIC number. There were even instances whereby NRIC numbers were published in the papers after a lucky draw result was out. So that was at the beginning. Then later we were sensitized, we were cultivated to be sensitized to NRIC numbers, especially in the period of introducing PDPA. So now, with the latest incident, naturally Singaporeans will wonder, is there a change and why is there a change? And compounding on this was that there was a guidelines on the collection and retention of NRIC number as part of the guidelines under PDPA. Shortly after the incident, that guidelines was withdrawn from the internet. So then the question is, why was this withdrawn? What significance is this action? And therefore, what kind of message are we sending? First one. Second is the NRIC number is now clearly clarified that it is a personal information and that it has to be dealt with care. So beyond a matter of respecting individual preference, Singaporeans are concerned about how this NRIC number can or cannot be used for identity theft or scams, which I know the minister had addressed it in her statements. But I think what would be helpful is to, share what kind of actions will be put in place to safeguard such information and prevent such misuses. How can Singaporeans be assured further? And from now till then, as the ministry goes out to engage organisations that are currently using NRIC number for authentication, not just for passwords, default passwords, but also as default identity login ID. So during this period of time, what is the period of time that the ministry is looking at to quickly get these organisations to rectify it, so that it would help to alleviate the concerns and anxiety that Singaporeans may have during this period? Thirdly, if NRIC numbers are not meant to be used as authenticator, then in the past few years, why did the government not actively go after organisations that have been implementing such practice? Would it be seen as implicitly endorsing this understanding? So that. And lastly, I'm glad that there will be a review panel to establish the facts of the matter. But at the same time, I also would like to urge the government to be fair to the civil servants, especially ACRA in this instance, especially if they have no ill intent. But as a whole of government effort, I think there's shared responsibility. So I urge the government in the review to also be fair to the civil servants involved. Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also thank the member, Ms. Tin, for her questions. There are quite a few. I think one of them will need to be addressed by Minister Indrani, but I will attempt to address the rest. Let me first say that I appreciate Ms. Tin's comments that we should be fair in how we conduct the review proceedings, and I think that is the intent. But the intent is to be rigorous and to be thorough. So which means also necessarily that we do not further speculate on what took place. And that, I think, is part of the discipline that we will have to observe in order to ensure that not only do we get to the bottom of matters, but also we are fair to all parties. Ms. Tan had a specific question on the guidelines on NRIC that are issued by PDPC. Why was it withdrawn? It was withdrawn for a very short period of time to apply a new label to it to draw people's attention to the statements that were made subsequently. So it was intended to basically tell people that the guidelines remain valid and the new label says so, but please note these other discussions that have surfaced. So I hope that addresses that. Ms. Tin also asked what should be done if the NRIC number has still been disclosed. What do you do about preventing scams? What do you do about pushing back against identity theft? I explained in my ministerial statement that NRIC-related scams have been around with us for some time. Most of the NRIC-related scams pertain to the scammers giving the impression that they are figures of authority because they are able to cite your NRIC number. Very few of the scams, in fact, it's not quite so easy to pinpoint even one specific instance where the scammer was able to get hold of the NRIC number and then key that in to unlock valuables. So it goes back to the best protection that we can have for each other. And that is, number one, for organizations, not to use the NRIC numbers as authenticators or default passwords, and for individuals not to use these NRIC numbers as passwords. How do we help organizations to do this as quickly as possible? Firstly, we recognize that it may take them time. Not everyone understands this. Even for members of parliament, it has taken two statements more than an hour to get to this point. So we do not underestimate the effort that is going to be required, the public education exercise that will have to be mounted, and the many outreach sessions that we are likely to have to conduct in order to help people understand the risks of continuing to use NRIC number as an authenticator and as a password. So we must give it adequate time. But the resources to help these organizations are available. We will do so through PDPC. Between IMDA and CSA, there are also programs that will put the organizations in touch with the relevant knowledge experts, service providers that can help them bring about a change. And perhaps to go back to Ms. Tin's first question, has the policy changed? I explained at the outset that the BizFile incident, without intending to, may have led people to think that the government now has a new policy of allowing full NRIC to be disclosed on a wide scale. And this is not the case. This is not the direction that we're moving towards. The change is only in respect to stopping the incorrect users of NRIC numbers as authenticators and as passwords. That is the change. The policy, the guidelines, the duty of care that organizations must exercise when they collect and use NRIC numbers, those have not changed.
Ms. Indrani?
Just a very quick response to Ms. Tin. I think her comment was she hoped that the review would be fair to ACRA. I think as far as the review panel is concerned, the intention is to be thorough, and it is also to be fair to all, both to ACRA as well as MDDI, to all involved, but it must undertake the review seriously and carefully. As I mentioned earlier, based on the preliminary findings, the incident seemed to be a genuine case of miscommunication, but at the same time, we don't want to prejudge the issue. So as I also mentioned, if the panel uncovers facts that suggest actionable wrongdoing or serious lapses, then it will refer the matter to relevant bodies or authorities for further action. So they will be objective, they will be fair, but they will also be thorough and rigorous.
Mr. Pritam Singh.
So in July last year, this House passed the Accra Registry and Regulatory Enhancements Bill. Amongst other things, the bill introduced a framework that sought to protect the confidentiality of personal information by limiting public access and allowing only specific parties access for the purposes of fulfilling regulatory obligations. Minister Indrani, in moving the bill, confirmed that the bill laid the groundwork for the enhanced BizFile system that was targeted for launch at the end of 2024. No mention was made in the minister's second reading speeches about the government's new approach vis-à-vis NRIC numbers. A public consultation was also undertaken for the bill in which was published in March 2024. In this consultation, Accra had proposed, and I quote, to partially mask the identification numbers of all individuals in Accra's registers which are made available to the public and introduce a contact address that will be shown to the public, unquote. There was some feedback to this proposal, principally related to corporate transparency and know your client requirements. Accra responded to this and said, I quote, on the proposal to mask identification numbers, the concerns on requiring access to full identification numbers have been duly noted. We will review this in due course, unquote. So my first question, as the issue of the masking of NRIC numbers was clearly in Accra's contemplation for the purposes of the amendment bill in July 2024, when did Accra intend to provide an update to its public consultation? And in view of the reply, if I heard correctly from the minister, the circular came into being in July 2024. When was Accra intending to provide an update to its public consultation? And why did it go ahead, especially in view of these public representations? Secondly, Accra and the government would have been acutely aware that the public treats NRIC numbers as personal data and for personal data privacy reasons, and that these should not be disclosed to the public. I think Minister acknowledged that Minister Josephine Teo acknowledged that. But in 2022, on the back of amendments to various corporate statutes, the point was acknowledged in Annex A of a public consultation exercise for another bill that NRIC numbers are confidential information. My second question, therefore, is in view of the serious and significant public concern about how unmasking NRIC numbers took place, could have occurred so easily, despite enough feedback about not just how the public, but Accra itself views the sanctity of NRIC numbers by virtue of its consultation exercises in 2022 and 2024, surely the matter would have had to be brought to Parliament instead of simply interpreting a circular from the Ministry. That's the second query to the Minister. And finally, I note my question 25 in yesterday's order paper. Subsections B to D of that question really have not been answered. So I would appreciate a reply from the Minister. Thank you.
Minister Indrani.
If the Leader of the Opposition, just give me a moment to check the notes on this. Okay. Just a few things. I don't have all the details of what the LO has asked, but what I can give him is some of the details. First, the summary of the public consultation was issued in April of 2024. And in the summary of the consultation, what was said was this. I think under the proposal, right, to partially mask the identification number of all individuals in Accra's registers, which were made available to the public, and introduce a contact address as the default address of individuals, that will be shown to the public instead of the individual's residential address. So feedback, some respondents expressed concerns on the need to have access to full identification numbers and other personal data for corporate transparency and compliance with Know Your Client's requirements. Some respondents sought a clarification on whether there would be still sufficient information to identify an officer, an office holder that is tied to a particular business entity on ACRA's registers. So the first piece of feedback that you can see is that there are two types. Some express concern about, you know, having full identification numbers made available. Others needed to know how to identify the right person. ACRA's response was to proceed with the proposal to introduce a contact address as the default address of individuals that will be shown to the public. On the proposal to mass identification numbers, the concerns on requiring access to full identification numbers have been duly noted. We will review this further and provide an update in due course. I think that's what the LO was referring to. So my understanding, and this is going to have to be dealt with more deeply in the review, because they'll be looking into the matter. But my understanding was, when ACRA was looking at this, they were deciding whether or not to even give full NRIC numbers. But on the MDDI side of the house, they had been indicating that they were reviewing this. And so that was put on hold. Then after that, the July circular came along and the misunderstanding occurred, and then that's what happened. So that is the short sequence of what I know, but the review panel will look into this in more detail.
Mr. Liang Linghua. Okay, Mr. Singh. Mr. Singh.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. It's not a new supplementary question, but I had other questions specifically pertaining to question 25 on yesterday's order paper, which...
Could you say that again?
I had also asked other questions in my PQ, part B to D. It was on yesterday's order paper, and it was question 25. I think those have been answered.
Okay.
And there was another query with regard to why the data issues didn't come back to Parliament, but I think Minister has said it's part of the review, so I think that's answered. But the original PQ, there are still components which have not.
Which is the first part of your question, right? Yeah. You're referring to the questions that was filed in yesterday's PQ.
Yeah, but perhaps for the convenience of the ministers, I can just repeat the question, the specific components.
All right.
To ask the Minister of Digital Development and Information, when was the Ministry's circular that sought to change the practice of masking NRIC numbers dated and communicated to government agencies? I think Minister answered by saying July 2024. Part B was, when did the Ministry determine that such a change was necessary and began planning for it? C, whether any whole-of-government discussions took place before and after the issuance of the circular? And D, how many other agencies apart from ACRA misread or misunderstood the circular? Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, in response to the member's question, for the circular minute to have been issued in July, I don't have the exact date when the discussion started. It would have to be months before that this was already discussed. To his question, whether there were whole of government discussions, as would be typical of a change of this nature, besides issuing circulars, there would also have been briefings, and the briefings would have allowed for clarifications. Then upon those clarifications, it would also be quite a common practice amongst government agencies to compile frequently asked questions in order to provide useful references to colleagues. So I can share with the member that these things did take place. Now, as to how exactly the incidents unfolded, I seek the member's understanding and member's kind support. At this juncture, if we were to start pointing to this particular event, that particular occasion, it would still not allow us to piece together the whole picture. And if such episodic events were discussed, you could invite further questions, And I think what could be even more difficult is if we gave the impression that there was an effort to conceal certain parts of the process because we were only talking about parts of it. So I think I would refrain from further citing specific events leading to the incident of 9th December, the launch of the new BizFile, and the other associated events around it. So I seek the members' understanding that it would not be a very good idea for us to keep going into the specific details.
Whilst we await for the full review, Minister, right? That's what you're saying, there's a full review that's being undertaken. Okay. Mr. Liang Eng-Hua.
Thank you, sir. So my correct question pertains to the mass NRIC, which I noted from the Minister's statement that the government will be moving away from. And secondly, if it's something they do know that it's not a foolproof, it is not absolutely secret, why there's a need to take away this caution?
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, the member asked whether there are any downsides to using masked NRIC numbers. The same could apply to partial NRIC numbers. I explained earlier in my ministerial statement that what has happened is that nowadays it is quite easily available online algorithms that can allow you to guess or work out, derive the full NRIC number, particularly if you know the birth year of a person. And actually, to work out the birth year of a person is not at all difficult. Public figures would certainly have Wikipedia pages where your birth year is well known. Even individuals who are not necessarily public figures may have talked about celebrating birthdays on their social media accounts, in which case a person who is determined to work out the full NRIC number of these individuals from the masked NRIC number or the partial NRIC number could quite easily use these algorithms to do so. So the ease of availability of such algorithms will mean that the continued use of masked NRIC numbers gives this false sense of security that will not go away. And if this false sense of security were to persist, and people think that their full NRIC number is still a secret, and they continue to use it as a password, or if organizations set it as a default password, or organizations use it as an authenticator, that is where the risk of scams, that is where the risk of harms associated with identity theft will become more commonplace. And we thought that the right thing to do was, whilst the problem is still relatively contained, we must try and bring a stop to these kind of practices, and the government should take the lead for our own purposes. As to the private sector, we had always known that it was going to be difficult, and therefore it was important to both engage in public education as well as consult the public on what would be the appropriate approach. I take the member's point of view that from an individual standpoint and from an organization's standpoint, psychologically there is a comfort that not the full NRIC number is known. If it was truly safe, then I think we can certainly say, well, consider this continuation of this continued practices of this nature to be not particularly harmful and not particularly something that has to be acted upon. But knowing what we know now, and knowing that there are now so many algorithms that are, or the ease of availability of these algorithms, and not doing something about it, that is also not responsible.
Mr. Louis Chua.
Thank you, Speaker. Just two clarifications. The first is that I understand that there are about 500,000 queries, but given that we do not know actually whose NRIC was being accessed, would the government consider issuing individual notifications to all the different households on the four major languages just to inform them of this incident and the necessary precautions that need to be taken just to ensure that people are prepared? And I say this also because in the case of private organisations, then should there be a data breach, they are actually obligated to inform both the PDPC and the individuals affected. Second is it's actually part of my original PQ in that what is the government's assessment of the risk of NRIC numbers being potentially used to unlock large amounts of personal information? And I think there was a Straits Times article that talked about how it can be used to access bank information, healthcare records. And in so doing, has the government actually given a timeline for both the public healthcare institutions or private financial institutions to stop the use of the NRIC as an authenticator? Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the member for his question. I think following the media conference as well as statements that were made in relation to the BizFile incident, I recall that the Association of Banks have issued a statement on how they do not allow or banks do not have the practice of using the NRIC number as a sole factor of authenticator. I think the awareness in certain sectors is certainly reasonably high. I believe the telecommunications companies may also have issued a statement. It was in the festive period, so I apologise if I cannot remember specifically who issued what statement. So within the sectors where there are regulators, I think we can say with a good degree of confidence that the awareness about the inappropriateness of using NRIC numbers as a factor of authentication is quite high. But again, we do not want to assume. We still want to go through the rigour of ensuring that such practices stop. I would say that outside of these regulated sectors, there are a very large number of companies. And it would best be for us not to assume that the incorrect uses of NRIC numbers is well understood. So our working assumption is that outside of the regulated sectors, we have an even bigger challenge. Having said that, I want to go back to the answer that I provided in response to Ms. Hanisoh's questions. If you look at the NRIC-related scams that we've observed thus far, most of it relates to the victim thinking that they were dealing with a figure of authority because that person, the scammer, was able to cite the NRIC number. Police have actually not been able to specifically identify cases of NRIC-related scams where the NRIC number was inputted to steal valuables. That has not so far been the commonplace observation amongst NRIC-related scams.
Mr. Xie Chen.
Would actually sort of be beyond necessarily the number of NRIC numbers that were with ACRA. The other thing to bear in mind is that those who have incorporated a business or have taken on board, you know, directorships, etc., and have their information with ACRA would know that their information can be made publicly available. So I think the better approach is really this. For everybody who has provided information in lodgements or filings in ACRA to take heed of what we have indicated. Use your NRIC as a password or authenticator. To be careful if somebody comes citing your NRIC, asking you to do something. And this would be part and parcel of the public education that we would put out. But it's not necessary, I think, to sort of notify all households.
Mr. Chair, Chair.
Thank you, Speaker. Currently, there are many transactions between government agencies and citizens that use masked NRICs. And this has been a long-standing practice by the public sector, and citizens are very used to this practice. So in view of Minister Teo's clarification that the government is not moving to a widespread disclosure of full NRIC numbers in its transactions with citizens going forward, but only to use full NRIC numbers as an additional identifier in specific cases where this is actually necessary, I think it'll be very helpful to help the public understand just what these specific cases might be. In what specific cases would government actually be using full NRIC numbers going forward because it is necessary to do so? In what specific cases would government use other identifiers in lieu of NRIC numbers? And in what cases would government be dropping the use of other identifiers altogether because a citizen's name alone would be sufficient for identification purposes? I think it would be very helpful if Minister Teo could provide more clarity on this going forward. And indeed, if Minister could also provide some reassurance, even at this stage, if possible, that the government expects that in the majority of cases going forward, the use of full NRIC numbers will not be needed. I think that will be helpful. Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, I thank Mr. Seer for his question. He is right to note that in place of masked NRIC numbers, the government believes that in some instances there would be no need for the NRIC number at all. He is also right to say that in other instances, we believe that names alone or some other identifier would be sufficient. But I think this is important to state. When interacting with the government, for example, if you are applying for subsidies, if you are hoping to access some benefit that the government is able to provide to you, if you are laying claim to something important and something valuable to you, these would be instances where the full NRICs should be used. And the whole purpose of making sure that we stop the incorrect uses of NRIC numbers is to enable the confident use of full NRIC numbers when we need to do so. But I appreciate where Mr. Xie is coming from. There are many, many use cases for government. It would not be possible at this point in time to list all of them. There must be hundreds, if not thousands, of cases where internally or in communication, in correspondence with citizens, there may be a reason to use some form of identification. The decision that we thought that we should take is that each case has to be carefully assessed and each case will merit its own considerations. So I would ask for Mr. Sears' patience. Prior to the BizFile incident, this process had not been completed. I can share with him that this process had started, but it was not yet complete.
Ms. Hazelpoor.
Thank you, Speaker. My first SQ is, which government department and stat boards have been using NRIC as a factor of authentication, and when will they stop? Specifically, when will SingPass stop using NRIC as a login ID? My second SQ is, when the review on ACRA's incident is completed, will the report be made public?
Minister Teo.
I should not answer on behalf of Minister Indrani, but I believe the answer to your last question is yes. There will be a public release of the after-action review of the findings of it. Mr. Indrani can clarify. Ms. Pua had asked about the use of authentication amongst public sector agencies. What I can share with her is that following the circular that was sent out, to the best of our knowledge, all government, all public sector agencies have ceased the use of the NRIC number of as authenticators. I do not have offhand who might to misrepresent. I hope she understands that. I think there was a middle question that I missed. SingPass. Yes, yeah. The question of SingPass is a very interesting one. SingPass is available to anyone age 15 and above. So it's a very wide group of people. In making SingPass available, the designers have to find a way to have a unique identifier. And so the NRIC number is used as the default identifier. So it's used only as an ID. It is not used as a password. You set your own password. Although it is the default identifier, SingPass allows anyone to change out their user ID to something that is not the NRIC number. Prior to this incident, maybe not everybody was very aware of it, but it's actually not difficult to change your user ID. It's not difficult to go onto your SingPass app to change your user ID. If you do not wish to have your NRIC number as your user ID, you may change it to something else.
Ms. Minister Indrani?
I just wanted to say in response to Ms. Pua's question, because I wanted to be very specific, she asked whether the report will be made public. I don't know what form the review findings will take. What I said just now, and I think what would be accurate to say, is that the findings will be made public. I don't know in what shape or form the review panel is intending to put together the findings.
Dr. Tan Wu Ming.
Mr. Speaker, I thank the ministers for their questions. I filed three parliamentary questions on this. First of all, can I ask the ministers, at the whole of government level, would they not agree that implementation is policy? And I think that's actually a quote from a former head of civil service, Mr. Lim Seong-guan. And to build on that, would they furthermore also consider that implementation must recognize contemporary reality as well as emerging reality that the policy has to operate in? Secondly, can I also ask the ministers, moving forwards from what has happened here, the bell cannot be unrung, information that has been released cannot be unreleased, but moving forwards, will our agencies very actively look at how the world has changed and is continuing to change? For example, how today online bots can scrape thousands or even millions of data points if a search engine delivers the information quickly, that there are scammers and hostile actors hoping to harvest every database they can get their hands on, anything with an API that can be accessed. And lastly, given all of this, whether there can be continued deep attention in the review to how in government e-services we approach aggregates of data, especially when that data can be searched by the public or persons even from outside Singapore. Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, we acknowledge the mistake made in trying to implement the move to stop the incorrect uses of NRIC number. The government has said so, and the government has also explained that the implementation had not started for the private sector. So the implementation was supposed to have taken place within the public sector first. And in this process of implementation, there were gaps in coordination, and these resulted in ACRA misunderstanding what was required of them and disclosing the NRIC numbers in full when they launched their new BizFile incident. Clearly, there are lessons to be learned from this incident. This was a mistake. This was a misstep. We would like to have avoided it, but it has happened, and we will do our best to learn from it.
Monsieur William.
Thank you, Speaker. I have a clarification for Minister Josephine Teo and one for Minister Indrani. Minister Teo earlier talked about the use of NRIC numbers or information as authentication, and she drew the distinction between the use of the number itself versus, say, the production of the NRIC card, which you said could be used for authentication because it contains more information. I'd like her view on how this would apply to the digital NRIC that is in our SingPass, because most people don't carry the physical card around anymore. And I mean, I found from personal experience that going to the bank, they still want me to produce the physical card. So I'd like her opinion on whether she thinks this distinction between the physical card and the digital IC in SingPass is a logical and well-founded distinction. So should actually the digital IC be taken as acceptable for authentication purposes? I'd like her view on that. For Minister Indrani, earlier she touched on this MDDI circular minute that we all here has been misunderstood by ACRA. And she mentioned that ACRA actually sought a clarification from MDDI. What was the nature of the clarification, and was there any reply from MDDI to ACRA's clarification? And related to that, there is intense interest in the public on the circular. So I'm just wondering whether she would agree that for the review panel, at least when they put up their report, that this minute could be made public so that people can form their own judgment on how this misunderstanding could have occurred.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, firstly, Ms. Lim, congratulations on your recent nuptials. You must have used your full NRIC number at the registry. SingPass too. Ms. Lim asked a very relevant question. Does the digital NRIC card suffice as an authenticator? If you open up your SingPass app and you tap on your digital NRIC card, you will see your photograph, and therefore containing this information allows the digital ID card to be matched against the person holding the device that shows this digital NRIC. In fact, we have said quite clearly that the production of this digital NRIC, digital NRIC card, digital NRIC, is the same as producing the physical NRIC card. So I think that part is quite clear. And I think, so it would be acceptable as an authenticator. I could just put it across that way.
Minister Indrani.
I thank Ms. Lim for her question, and I can understand the curiosity. First, I think let me deal with the issue of when ACRA sought clarification, whether there was a response. There was a response, and I understand that, you know, the communications continued for a while. The reason why I'm not saying more about this is so that the review panel can look at it in detail, because as Ms. Lim would appreciate, and I think indeed almost anybody who's done an investigation, people, when they communicate with each other, whether it be verbally or in writing, don't do it in nice, complete sentences that flow on nicely. There will be short phrases. There will be you make a guess at what the other, or you assume what somebody else is saying. You use a short phrase, right? So all of that has to be pieced together in a review, the full picture put together, and then you get an understanding of what happens. So suffice to say, as I have summarized in my ministerial statement, they did talk. It's not that they didn't talk, because Accra did have some concerns. But what is very clear is that there was not a clear understanding of the policy intent, and in some cases, it really was a lapse of coordination. And that's as much as I can say at this point. On the second point of whether the document, the minutes, should be released or not, that I will let the panel decide. But the general principle is, for government documents, you normally don't release the government documents. What does happen sometimes is the relevant extract or the relevant portion does get cited. And at least for these purposes, in my statement, the most material part is what I have said was in the minute, which was the words to cease the use of the partial masked NRIC. So that is really the most relevant part of that document, and that is what led to the incident in question.
Mr. Dennis Tan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to clarify with Minister Indrani, and this relates to my question 36. In respect of persons whose NRIC number has been downloaded and then subsequently, has been accessed, and if subsequently it's been proven that it's been accessed and downloaded by malicious actors for scams or onward sale during the period of 9 to 13 December, is the government prepared to provide suitable compensation or remedy to such individuals? Thank you.
Minister Indrani.
In response to Mr. Tan's question, I think the first difficulty here that we have, which is what I indicated earlier, was that we don't know what information might have been accessed or whose information. So the first place to talk about compensation assumes come and say, oh, my information has been accessed, therefore, you know, I should be compensated. But that leads to the second and the more important point. Anybody who has filed or provided personal information in a document or lodgement with ACRA would know that actually that information is available publicly. So, for example, if you're a director and you file a document saying that you're a director, you would know that information should be made public. Because as a lawyer, Mr. Tan would know that Mr. Tan would have done public searches, right? ACRA searches. When you're going to commence a suit and you're looking to see which director to sue, you would do an ACRA search and you would look for his NRIC number and you would actually put his NRIC number on your writ of summons when you issue the thing against him. So if the claim is that the NRIC number was made public, then the suggestion is that it is wrong to make it public. But information in ACRA is actually permitted to be made public. That is the nature of a registry. The nature of a registry is to be a register. And the nature of a register is to have information.
and the nature of that information in the register is put there for a purpose, and that purpose is for the public to access it. So there would be some issue there, I think. So in that sense, so the short answer to this to the question is, at the moment, you don't even know who. But second, insofar as the suggestion is that it cannot be made public, the answer is that such information can be publicly accessible. So I'm not sure the context in which a question of compensation arises.
Mr. Leong Manwai.
Mr. Speaker, first of all, I'd like to thank the ministers for confirming that the NRIC numbers, the full NRIC numbers, are not about to be made, to be unmasked in a very big way. I think that is the single most important worries of many Singaporeans. We have no problem about the government using our full NRIC number or the banks using our full NRIC numbers in their internal processes. But to review those numbers, like what ACRA has done, although ACRA is exempted from the PDPA, we have a problem. Okay, and we thank the ministers for confirming that that's not the case. Because during the whole process leading up to today's clarification, even including the minister's press conference, it was not exactly clear as to what the government intends to do. So today's clarification is very useful. And why was it not very clear? Because I think even after today's 2 hours of clarification, we still have doubts that ACRA disclosed the full NRIC number, and it is not supposed to do so. So why not ACRA comes out, do a proper apology, and then the minister comes out to say that yes, we also caution that.
Mr. Leong, you want to make your clarification? Yes. What is? Don't make a speech here.
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you.
I think the clarification have to be preceded by this this preamble. Okay.
Please heed my. I spent a lot of time asking everyone to do the same, please.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that why can't the ACRA just come out and say, yeah, we make a mistake, you know, and then case closed. And then at a later stage, the government say that, yeah, please be aware of using your NRIC number as authenticator. So step up the education, and that is case closed. I don't know why the minister...
So what is your clarification, may I ask?
So we are not sure why the whole process has taken on such a shape. So as a result, I have a few questions. Although, first of all, I'm very disappointed that
the circular is not good. All the other members have just asked a clarification. I allow short preamble.
Okay.
I think you've stated your preamble is not short. So yeah. Can you go straight to your clarification?
Yes,
thank you.
My clarification is this. Can whether the circular was cleared by any political office holders? And whether any political office holders were giving directions when the civil servants in ACRA and MDDI were clarifying with each other on the instructions of the circular. Okay. Depending on the answers, I would like to know whether our civil servants have been thrown under the bus. Thank you.
Minister Indrani.
Mr. Speaker, sir, I would like to thank Mr. Leong Manwai for his very clear and definitive statement that actually all that's necessary is for ACRA to do a proper apology and for the ministers to say what needs to be done, and it is case closed. Because ACRA did give an apology that was back in December, in the press conference, and at that press conference, Minister Josephine and myself also did say what would be the proper thing to do, which is that don't use your NRIC number for authentication, and make sure that, you know, if anybody comes with your NRIC number, don't take that at face value and do your checks. So by the definition that Mr. Leong has put forward, actually, it should be case closed, and I thank him for that. It's just that there were PQs filed, and because there were PQs filed, it comes back to Parliament, and it is necessary for us to explain. So that's the reason why we are here today, is really responding to the PQs.
Mr. Yip Hong Wing.
The question is
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Well, on the question, the office... certainly not myself. And second, you will have to look at the review in due course.
Mr. Hong Wing.
My clarification is directed to MDDI, and it pertains to scams and targeted communications. How does the ministry plan to communicate the approach for the use of NRIC numbers to hard-to-reach segments of our society, like less tech-savvy individuals such as seniors? And besides leveraging on examples of incorrect users of NRIC, what other methods will be used for education, given that this is not really a very easy policy to explain? And would the ministry also consider using SGO, Silver Generation Office, or the SG Digital Office to do house visits and sort of explain this to seniors? Thank you.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, I thank Mr. Yip for his question and for always having a heart for those that are less privileged. He's right to say that there will be certain hard-to-reach segments, seniors, perhaps persons with less privileged backgrounds. We do intend to use all channels available to the government. They can certainly include... people who are volunteers on the Seniors Go Digital program. We would welcome the opportunity to partner with the Silver Generation Office, or more broadly, the Agency for Integrated Care, which also supervises the active aging centres. I should say that in terms of reaching out to, for example, small and medium enterprises, fortunately, we do have trade associations and chambers who are forward-leaning. In fact, they have approached us and initiated the process to better inform their members on what to do. So we will use all channels available to the government in order to strengthen the outreach. And if members have suggestions on any groups that we may have missed out, please feel free to let us know too.
Mr. Gerald Giam.
So I have questions for Minister Teo and Minister Indrani. First of all, Minister Teo, how long has the government known that organisations, including those in the public sector, have been using NRIC numbers as an authentication factor? And why did it not prohibit its use long before December 2024? Up to December, large regulated organisations like insurers were reportedly still using NRIC numbers as default passwords. I know the Minister said earlier using NRIC numbers as default passwords. I know the Minister said earlier However, my question about this alternative NRIC structure arises because a masked NRIC can still be reverse engineered due to the algorithm and checksum that it follows. While this algorithm is not officially published, it is widely known. So my question is, what prevents the NRIC from being randomly generated moving forward instead of relying on an algorithm? If the concern is that businesses need to check the validity of an NRIC number provided, I would highlight that many NRIC generators online can already produce numbers that pass this checksum. And to Minister Indrani, business owners and corporate secretaries have reported that many share transfers and annual returns could not be submitted on the new BizFile portal after it was launched. And these are basic functions that every business owner uses. Was sufficient user acceptance testing conducted and signed off by ACRA before the launch of the new portal?
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, I thank Mr. Giam for his questions. As I said in my ministerial statement, the problem is relatively contained. So whilst we have observed instances of, for example, bank statements being sent to individuals and being accessed with most of the time partial. Usually what people receive is you need a password to access a file that is attached to an email. Although the email is already encrypted, for whatever reasons, these organizations still believe that it is necessary to attach another layer of access security for the document that is carried as part of the email. So this process then involves very often using a combination of some other identifier, some other information, could be date of birth, combined with part of the NRIC number to access. The question has to be, is there really a need for authentication to begin with? If you use the example that I just raised, previously, before statements of this nature were sent via encrypted mail, it would have been mailed to our homes in a little envelope. And that envelope does not need a special password to open up. So the fact that some organizations have decided that they need a further layer of authentication in order to access that bank statement, firstly, we would invite the organization to think through, do you really, really need it? Right? So that's one question. If they still choose, for whatever services that they make available digitally to their clients or to their stakeholders, they would require authentication, then I'll advise to them that the NRIC number is not a very good authenticator. You should not use it at all. So I think that remains. As to the question of whether we will legally prohibit the use of NRIC numbers as authenticators, as I said, the practices for the private sector will have to be decided upon consultation. So I do not want to say what the landing point is going to be, but even without a legal prohibition, I think organizations, if they care about their data security and they care about protecting the data that they have in their possession or the services being accessed by people who are not intended to enjoy the service, then they should really rethink the authentication methods. Their customers ought to be sensitized to this too, that when the NRIC number is being used by your organization as an authenticator, it's actually not safe at all. Now, it goes to your point that there are algorithms online that will allow you to work backwards, using the mass numbers to uncover the full number, which is why we are advising our own public agencies to move away from the use of the mass numbers and not to give themselves that false sense of security. I think your question has to do with the fact that how about if you invented a new identifier that cannot be worked backwards, that cannot be worked backwards from the partial identifier? I think my answer still stands. Whether you can work out or you cannot work out, The identifier is not meant to be a secret. It is not shared widely, but some people will know. The persons whom you revealed it to, for example, at the clinic, the person that you revealed it to when making a mobile line application, even if we reach a stage where we do not reveal the partial number, we reveal the full number, if this person was determined to get hold of your identifier, the NRIC number in this case, or any other identifier that you use to access information and services that are not meant for them, they will do so. It comes back to the fundamental point. Even if you cannot work out the full identifier from a partial identifier, as long as that identifier is used for the purposes of authentication or as password, you still have a problem. I hope that explains our position and our thinking.
Minister Indrani.
Mr. Gerald Guillaume had a clarification on difficulties encountered by users with respect to share transfer forms and the annual returns on the new BizFile portal. Can I just confirm with Mr. Guillaume that that has nothing to do with the NRIC issue? That's a separate topic, right? Okay. On that, I think that as a new BizFile portal, I understand that there have been some initial issues with the portal. However, what Accra has done is that they have informed, they have given an extension of time to users who need to file the documents, and they have also indicated that no late penalties will be imposed on people who have difficulties with filing. So firstly, extension given, no penalty. And third, if anyone is having a difficulty with their filing still, please do contact Accra and their service personnel will assist. The contact information is on the website. I don't have details on what kind of testing that was done, but what I think I can say with relative confidence is that some testing was done. The question on this specific one, I don't have the answer to that. But anyway, anybody who is experiencing difficulty, please contact Accra. They will assist you. And in the meantime, they're working to resolve any technical difficulties.
Associate Professor Jim Muslim.
So, very brief preamble for context. I think it's useful to draw reiterate the distinction, as acknowledged by Minister Teo, between an individual acknowledging that the NRIC number is neither a foolproof nor secure method for personal identification, and hence may be desensitized, and the same individual consenting and being comfortable with their NRIC being released or broadly disseminated. So I think most Singaporeans would agree with the former, but strongly disagree with the latter. And my questions have to do with the implications of this distinction. For Minister Teo, going forward, would the government's policy of desensitizing the NRIC also lead to difficulties in the practical implementation of low-grade access restrictions, such as passwords for PDF documents, like she mentioned early on, that contain confidential but not secret information? And relatedly, if there have been any studies, feasibility studies on what a widespread desensitized NRIC policy could mean for the day-to-day operation of businesses in our economy. And for Minister Indrani, if indeed it was within the government's rights to release personal information on company directors according to the Accra Act, could this then deter individuals from being willing to take up directorships, especially for small and medium, small and micro businesses where friends and family are often roped in as directors? And if so, whether some kind of opt-out clause for deep personal information, including address and NRIC beyond just the name, for directors for such small firms would be possible, because at least for smaller firms, these kind of deep due diligence may not be necessary.
Minister Teo.
Mr. Speaker, two quick responses to Dr. James Lin. First, I believe that his opening sentence in his preamble is erroneous. We did not say that the NRIC number is not suitable for identification. It is an identifier. It is a unique identifier. So it has to be used for identification. It is authentication that it should not be used for. You can use it to identify a person. You cannot use the NRIC number to prove that the person is who he claims to be. So I would encourage Dr. Lim, I do appreciate that there's a lot to take on board. So I would refer him to the specific statements on this topic, drawing a distinction between the NRIC number as an identifier and as an authenticator so that we could have a proper understanding of what it is. The second response to his comments is that I'm not sure that it's useful to characterize what we are doing as desensitizing. As I explained, we are not making a change to allow the full NRIC number to be widely disclosed. The only change that we are making is to stop the incorrect uses of NRIC numbers as authenticators and as passwords. Nowhere in this description is there a need to refer to desensitization. I'm not sure that that characterization applies to what we are seeking to do, and I would encourage members not to use this characterization. To reiterate, we are not making a change to allow full NRIC numbers to become widely disclosed. The only change we are making is to stop incorrect uses of NRIC numbers as authenticators and as passwords.
Minister Indrani.
Associate Professor James Lim asked whether, you know, the ability to make known NRIC numbers might deter individuals from taking up directorships and whether there can be some kind of opt-out clause. I think it is necessary to go back to first principles and really the very basics of corporate governance. The reason why you have information available is for corporate transparency. And why do you have corporate transparency? It is to protect the public. You must protect the public because anybody who sets up a business and transacts with the public interfaces with a member of the public. And that member of the public transacting with you may run into difficulties or issues and must then know who they are dealing with. So let's take an example that people can relate to. Let's say your home renovation. Most times, it could be a company, or let's say it's a sole proprietorship. It's Mr. Wong trading as, General Renovations. And the name card will say General Renovations. You have no idea who General Renovations company is. You will go to Accra. You will search General Renovations, and you will find that it is Mr. Wong trading as General Renovations. But there could be many other Mr. Wongs as well. So you need to know which Mr. Wong, because if your renovations wasn't done properly and you need to claim a refund or you need to sue him, for example, you need to know who you're dealing with. So it is the essence of a business register or corporate register that you must know and be able to identify the specific individual or entity that you are dealing with. Hence, it's actually looking at it through the lens in a different way. So if anybody has a concern that they do not wish to have their NRIC known and for that reason don't become a corporate director, I think that perhaps may be a step too far. But anyway, the bottom line is in our regime as well as in many other countries, if you're going to do business that transacts with the public has to know who you are and to be able to contact you.
To the extent that we can make some concessions, we have done so. So, for example, for residential address, for example, under the last round of amendments, you can now put a separate contact address. So if somebody needed to sue you, they could leave the writ of summons at your office. They don't necessarily have to go to your residence. So we've made some shifts. But I think on identification, there's no running away from the fact that you still need to be able to identify the individual you're dealing with.
Okay, we are approaching the end of the minister's statement. Mr. Leong Man Wai, are you asking a clarification to minister's response and not a new clarification? All right, I'll allow that.
Mr. Speaker, Minister Indrani took credit for what I said in my preamble, but did not answer my question. So can I ask the questions again? Whether the circular was cleared by any political office holders, and whether political office holders were giving directions when civil servants in Accra and MDDI were clarifying with each other on the instruction in the circular. Thank you.
That was not in your preamble. That was your question. Any Minister Indrani?
Mr. Speaker, sir, I first should clarify that I wasn't taking credit at all for Mr. Leong's preamble. Mr. Leong had actually made a couple of statements. I clarified that that's what he was saying, and far from taking credit, I thanked him for his position. On the second question, I actually partially answered it, but I've checked. As far as I'm aware, no POHs involved. No POHs involved in the circular minute or giving direction on it. But I also said just now that you should wait for the findings of the AAR. This is as much as I know. And I'm not purporting to be the complete encyclopedia of everything that's happened, because there is currently an ongoing review.
Order, end of ministerial statements. The clerk will now proceed to read the orders of the day.
Item 1, resumption of debate on the Workplace Fairness Bill, second reading.
Question is that the bill be now read a second time. Mr. Saktiandi Supat.
Mr. Speaker.